This is Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand, and it's going to be a curveball of an episode for you. I've got two major rockers joining me. I've got first Brent Smith, the lead singer of Shinedown, and then Zach from Avenged Sevenfold is going to join us as well. Both of these artists have ties to country music currently. We're going to get into that in these interviews. We got Brent Smith here from Shinedown, man. What's going on?
I'm hanging with you. I love how we're just like in it.
Yeah, bro, this is country, man. Am I your first country interviewer or no?
Man, authentic? Yeah.
Whoa.
Bring it on, man.
This is it. This is your first authentic country interview.
Aside from like the, you know, the Grand Ole Opry that we played
last year.
But that was kind of a different thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like kind of like coming into these, you know, situations and this type of atmosphere. Yeah, man, you're numero uno.
Heck yeah. Well, we're always pretty nice. So I got a bunch of questions.
That's cool, man.
Run down if you, whatever, you know.
By the way, thanks for taking the time to hang out with me. I appreciate it. I know you got a lot of stuff going on and I really appreciate the time. So thank you.
No problem, man. I'm going to be a little bit late to my kid's pickup, but my wife is going to pick the kid up.
Okay.
So we're all good. Don't even sweat
it. If I had a pickup truck, I'd go get him with you. I mean, I feel like at this point, that's the least I could do.
Right. You know? I wanted to share my condolences first on the passing of your mom.
Oh, you're very kind, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Is getting back to work healing for you?
I mean, to a point, like I'm trying to, you know, it's an interesting thing. You don't know how to handle the passing of your mother until your mother passes. And she was such a major part of who I am, but I don't think that she's gone in any way, shape, or form. You know, she's everywhere. And I know that her spirit, you know, lives in me and what she taught me. And I just want to make her proud. And I know she's watching me and she would tell me to get to work. And she'd be like, kid, you know, I love you. It's all good. You know, you're there for a reason. And, you know, she always used to tell me too, like when the music thing started to happen, my family didn't have a background in music. So I was kind of like the first one in the family that was like so passionate about music, but really like singing. And like at the age of 10 years old, like writing all these different sonnets and these poems and then putting them into, you know, a song. Like I feel very, very blessed that I knew what I wanted to do very early on. So she kind of watched that. And in the beginning, she was a little terrified, you know, because your kid says he wants to be a singer and he wants to play in a band and all this. And she's just trying to protect me and manage expectations. But I just never wavered from it. And then at a certain point in time, she just was like, you really, really want this? And I'm like, I do. And she was just then lead from the front and go get it, kid.
And I know your bassist suffered some loss too.
Yeah.
Is that going to come through? And I know you've already put down this album, but
it's an 18 song. It got announced yesterday and it's an 18 song record. Four singles have already been put out from last year because we did that to kind of set it up differently. It's a roller coaster of it's an emotional record. There's a lot going on.
Give me the story of Searchlight, because I think this is the coolest thing, how you guys played it at the Ryman a year ago, and then all of a sudden you wake up and all of a sudden you wake up one day and you guys are on like 19 country stations.
It's insane.
Give me the whole story of how that fell into place.
Well, the thing that was interesting about the Opry was they knew nothing about Searchlight. So our publicist Taylor got contacted by them and they were doing the 100-year birthday and they were having artists come in that had never played before. And then when the Searchlight song had come about, they found out about that because this was our, you know, debut at the Opry.
Yeah.
You know, let alone getting having Carrie Underwood come out there and introduce us. It was a wild night, man. It was crazy.
I can only imagine.
Dude, I grew up, you know, I'm born and raised from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
And so, like, just everything about the Grand Ole Opry growing up, you know, and by the way, that is true to form. When you walk out there, it's like an out-of-body experience. And you feel like you're on hallowed ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel that very vividly. But, you know, the whole thing, too, just in regards to Searchlight, you know, when we were in the writing phase, I remember the time frame that song was written. And essentially, what it originally was more of like a rock ballad, and it was a bit heavier, and it had different vibe. And for whatever reason, man, it was just talking to me in a different way. And so our producer and our bass player, Eric, who's produced, engineered, and mixed the last three records in their entirety. So, and we do a lot of our records in South Carolina. And so a couple of days had passed. We were, you know, writing a lot of different songs at that time, too. But this song, Searchlight, we had a demo, and I just was like, this is talking to me in a different way. So I went back in. I was like, let's do this. Just hear me out. Just do an acoustic of it and let me re-sing it. And I just went in and re-sang it differently, the way that I felt it needed to be sung. And then, long story short, I walked in, talked to him about it. He goes, this is the way you want to go about this? And I go, yeah, is it freaking you out? He's like, no, but if we're going to do it, then we need to kind of really make sure that it's authentic. But it asked for a lap steel. It asked for a banjo. It asked for a fiddle. And it was a different song all the way around. And then all of a sudden, when I heard it back, I was like, this sounds honest. And it just felt more like a country song.
So let's say I'm sitting here talking with 2007 Brent.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If I'm like, yo, man, Shinedown's got some success early out of the gate. You guys are going to be ending up on a country station, about 20 of them playing at the Opry. What would you say?
Bring it on. Bring it on.
You wouldn't have been scared.
Here's the thing, man. Shinedown is everyone's band. Like, we don't write music in a vacuum or in a box either. Like, we're influenced by such a vast palette of music that spans from all walks of life. So for me, and you know, look, I mean, for us also too, anyone that knows the band, if you dive into all seven records, soon to be, well, eight records now, record comes out May 29th. If you look at the catalog, there is a lot of exploration musically with us. You know, lyrically, we labor over these records and these songs. We try to not write the same song over and over again, and we do our best to not make the same album twice. And so for us, we're always looking for the next thing that's going to inspire us or take us down a different path. Like, we're not afraid of like changing course. So we're an open vessel.
So who in country are you a fan of, like new and old?
New, and I guess this would be, I'm just a massive fan of Hardy just in general, just because the guy is a songwriting, like just a force of nature.
The best.
And he's also like really broad, again, very musical, and, you know, has an approach that, you know, he doesn't have tunnel vision when he writes. Like, he really can look at the peripheral. You know, new also right now, I'm completely kind of, I mean, Ella Langley is just like that. That voice is something brand new to me. I didn't know a lot about her, but, you know, Choosing Texas just kind of got me out of the, you know, from the jump.
Yeah. What is it about that song? We're trying to figure it out too.
Because she sounds like somebody you want to hang out with.
Okay.
Like, this dude chose like Texas. I'd rather hang out with you.
Right.
What I mean? So no, there's just something really like, honest in her voice. And she just seems like a good hang.
Shinedown cover.
Shinedown cover of that. If she wants to do it with us, she wants to do a feature, sick. That'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
Bring it on.
There's some.
And then old school is like, oh, yeah. I'm hardcore, you know, Randy Travis. Ooh. Have been since I was a kid. You know, Travis Tritt, definitely. Big Johnny Cash, you know, Loretta Lynn, you know, big in that world. You know, for me too. Also, Billy Ray Cyrus, like, he doesn't get a lot of credit for some of the more of the deep cuts.
Hell yeah,
I'll be honest with you. But obviously, you know, Miley Cyrus, I'm a massive fan of. But I mean, it's kind of all over the map. Like, my big, like, the guy that I would say, or the person I would say as far as like performer and songwriter, though, without questions, Hardy.
Hardy, okay. And country fans tend to approach sometimes when pop and rock artists crossover, they have skepticism at first. What would you say to someone like that?
Just be open-minded.
Okay.
You know, and here's the thing. Do you like the music? Do you like the song? Then, you know, lean into it. You know, the beautiful thing now, man, with music is that I don't really think there are genres, really. Like, everybody can lock into formats, but, and look at that. But I don't think that people should ever kind of go, well, I can't like this artist because I normally just listen to this style of music. But if that song from this other style of music makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up or gives you a feeling of joy, then it can't be like lean into that, you know? And the other thing too is I don't think that like my son is 18 years old and, you know, he's Generation Z and he doesn't listen to music, you know, with like stipulations, you know what I mean? Like he just likes what he likes and it's all over the map. So I think that you have, that's the beautiful thing about music, man. That's a universal language, not just here in the United States, but, you know, globally too. I mean, it's a big world out there and a lot of other countries, a lot of other territories, you know, they look at music in a different way. You know, I love going to festivals where it's, you know, all over the place. Like you know, I remember we did a festival a couple of years ago called Pink Pop. It was more than a couple of years ago, but it was like, I'll never forget it. Like Katy Perry was on it and Slayer was on it. Like, I'm not even joking.
Wow.
Like it was so like wild.
All
and it was
over,
like,
yeah.
And, you know, the thing about that is we're all coming from a place when you're a songwriter or a performer or a musician. I mean, music saved my life. So, and I often will tell people that it's cheaper than therapy, you know, but for us also, you know, our audience, you know, is really vocal with us. And, you know, I've said this before, we only have one boss in this band and it's everybody in the audience. But, you know, the beautiful thing about music and taste is that it can change at all times. I would just tell people, if you like the music and you like the songwriting and it brings you joy, then it can't be that bad.
And you mentioned your son. What is your son's least favorite Shinedown song?
He's never told me anything that he doesn't like.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's something here and there in there that he's not really, you know, into. The thing about my son is that he had a basketball in his hand since he was 6 years old. And a couple of years ago, he came to me and he said, Dad, I don't want you to be mad, but I just don't want to do it anymore. And I was like, well, tell me why. And he was just like, it's just kind of, you know, mentally for me, it's just turning into a toxic environment. And I said, listen, if it's not for you and you don't want to do it, then, you know, I'm not going to force you to do it because I want you to enjoy and I want you to love it. But the music was never a thing for me with him. Like I did not want him in any way, shape or form for what I did, you know, as a living to infiltrate his childhood.
But like, how cool is it?
I kept it away.
Really?
Yeah, man. I kept it away. Like not like I made sure he had that he was a kid and he, you know, look, wow. He's 18 and he's a teenager,
yeah.
You know, but I wanted to make sure that he was able to grow up and be a kid. And so, like, I never brought any of this to him. But the interesting thing that happened in the last 16 months, which is, it kind of blows me away. He picked up the guitar on his own. I'll be straight up with you. I got a video from him because we always send each other videos and text each other and this and that and the other. And this was like, you know, 16 months ago. And it's him with the guitar. And I'm like, what is this? And it's him figuring out the song, A Symptom of Being Human. And like my heart fell on the ground because I was just like, what is happening right now? Because he was actually like doing it and kind of figuring it out. So fast forward 16 months, the kid is playing like all like the first three Metallica records solos note for note. And like he's doing all these, he just did this other, like even Zach, our guitar player, like they'll FaceTime with each other and, Zach will call me up and be like, dude, I can't play that. I'm like, you know, it's wild. Like all of a sudden he's just picked up this instrument and it's pretty cool to watch him just lock into this instrument, but that was all on his own.
That's great. A couple more here, man. What's on Shinedown's tour rider?
What's on Shinedown's tour rider? Let me think. Man, I'm such a minimalist and I have nothing to do with the rider anymore. What's on there? Cheez-Its are on there. They seem to just always be there. Gatorade is always there. Grapes are there. By the way, this is all stuff Zach asked for. Let me see. Peanut butter, a lot of peanut butter. That's Eric. A lot of like kind of specific beers and things like that. Like that some of our crew and the band, I don't drink anymore, so I don't know anything about that, but like, it's, you know, the standard stuff, man, nothing too crazy or fancy, to be honest with you.
All right.
I've been the guy over the years, like with the rider, where they'll send it in every year, and I'm just the one like, we don't need this, we don't need this, we don't need this, we don't need this. They're like, Brent, there's other people in the band. Right. Like, well, you asked me. Like, I'm just, you know, but, you know, there's no quote unquote brown M&Ms, get rid of them type of things.
A couple more for, this is for Loudwire, our rock brand. They would like to know, what is your favorite karaoke song?
That I would do?
That's all I got.
Oh my gosh. Probably I Did It My Way.
Whoa, Frank Sinatra?
Yeah, man.
How would that sound?
I don't know. We'll have to do it one night and film it. You got all these cameras. What are you doing tonight? We can find a karaoke bar. We're in Nashville. I'm sure we can find one.
What song always makes the band feel happy?
That's ours, like when we play live, or just like a song in general?
Again, I don't know.
What makes this is going to sound strange, but for me, the song that makes me feel happy is Amy Winehouse, Rehab.
Good song.
That song always makes me feel happy for whatever reason.
Okay. And you guys are great on social media content as a band. What do you like about social media? It says, we've heard the complaints. What do you like?
I don't have any complaints.
What do you like about social media?
That it's an open floor. And everybody is entitled to their opinion. And that people... The big thing that I would say is, I think it has to be, for me, I have to look at it from the aspect of, to be able to have that kind of a connection with your audience when your audience is continuously growing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of it too. If you're going to put yourself out there, you know, obviously there's going to be opinions about your music, about your character, about what you do and what have you, but you also have control of it, you know, to present. You know, we're all living our lives. Now, there's some people that kind of go, the internet, you know, social media isn't a real thing, mm-hmm. or the internet isn't, like, go outside. Right. But I do find the connection that you can have with the audience to be spectacular in a lot of ways. Like, especially right now, like, our audience just, and I've said it 100 times over, we only have one boss in this band, and it's just happens to be everybody in the audience. And so for me, when you're in a band that's been going for 20 years and you're able to have that connection, especially from a global standpoint, like you can reach people from all corners of the globe. I think that that's a powerful tool, you know, just to have a connection with your audience. So I also think it's a really great place that you can find interesting things and talented people. I'll be honest, man, social media was extremely crucial for me during the pandemic, because just from a health standpoint and, you know, the things that I learned during that time, it actually bettered me as a person. And I found out about, you know, a lot of supplementation, a lot of different exercise programs and different things that I didn't know about really. And man, like that whole era, like if it wasn't for social media, like I found out about a lot of things that actually, you know, got my health under control, which I was really grateful for. So it's a powerful tool in a lot of ways.
Well, dude, I love the fact that y'all are getting country airplay, and I hope it keeps picking up, man.
Yeah, man.
Keep the train going.
It's pretty wild what's going
awesome.
On right now.
Yeah.
I love the fact that country is embracing it. It's
Hell
pretty
yeah,
extraordinary.
Dude. You guys are awesome. Well, thanks for coming by, man. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, man. You rule. Thanks a lot.
Hell yeah. Thanks, dude. I'm so excited that you're kind of swinging into this lane a little bit. How long has this been on your mind that you wanted to kind of create your own sound and go solo?
You know, it was something that was completely an unknown to me. I started while we were home during the pandemic, and it was just inspired by a rented pickup truck and a long road up in Oregon. And I was listening to a country station with my mom. And she said, you know, Zach, you'd make a great country singer. And I said, no, I wouldn't. You know, I'm a punk rock guy who plays heavy metal and I don't really sing. I mean, I sang punk rock in high school and stuff. And it got me thinking. So I wrote a song for her as kind of a joke. And she was like, oh, that's really great. And I was kind of laughing about it. And I came up with this melody while I was in the shower, because I started having fun trying to come up with these melodies and just play them on an acoustic guitar. And then I fully realized that this is the reason why I love Elvis. This is the reason why I love Johnny Cash historically growing up. This is the reason that I loved Hank Williams and Social Distortion and, you know, Willie Nelson and Marty Robbins and all this music that I'd always loved, you know, from outlaw country to rockabilly and, you know, listening to the Highwaymen growing up. And it all kind of worked its way into what I do in Avenged, sort of just in this, my spirit and in my mentality. So I started writing these songs on an acoustic guitar with the idea that it was going to be lyrics that I wanted to get off my chest, purely honest and simple and raw. And it became this therapy session for me. It literally was me along with my own thoughts and nothing else in a room with a guitar and making them come to life. And then it became real serious because it wasn't, you know, trying to cross into the world of another genre or be something that I wasn't, or it was very honest and very real and incorporated all the things that I, you know, styles that I had always grown up loving. And the next thing you know, I had this collection of songs and I just started really working on it to finish them. And there was no rules. There was no producers. There was no one telling me, you know, how to make things sound better. I didn't know what I was doing. It was so liberating and it was just as honest as I could ever be. And so unexpected.
And so did you wait to tell the rest of the band until you had more than one song, or did you say, wait till you had the record?
I waited to tell anyone pretty much on the planet. And once I had, you know, come up with a few songs that I was really proud of and recorded in a way that I thought I could present them, I showed maybe two or three people. And the reaction I got was honestly like complete confusion. And it wasn't taken seriously. And they were like, well, you know, you have Avenged, you know, kind of don't quit your day job sort of thing. And it kind of set me back a little bit. And I was like, well, maybe I could sell these songs, or because I felt really strong about them. And then I was like, you know what? These are my songs. This is my voice, for better or worse. This is something I'm going to continue with. And I just kept going. Like, I felt like I'd gotten knocked down and I just kept going. And I've said, you know what? I don't care. And I kept writing. I kept going. And then I started showing people. And then I'd start getting a reaction like, hey, this is pretty good. Like, this is serious. Like, hey, that lyric really hit me. And I was like, really? And I'd show them some more things. And once I had the complete album and I showed my band, they're like, hey, this is really good. Like, you need to put this out and you need to really get behind it. You know, this isn't just about throwing it out there into the void. You know, you need to be yourself and really take pride in what you did, because this is something that we stand behind, which was great to have the support of people that I actually respect the most, you know, musically. And it's so different. But once it was taken seriously and they realized that, hey, this wasn't a gimmick, this wasn't, you know, trying to, you know, quit what I was doing and put on a cowboy hat and become, you know, test my attempt at becoming a country star. This was very genuine and from the heart. People started listening to it and saying, hey, you know, that lyric brought tears to my eyes. And I would play songs for people in my car and they would cry. And I was like, I understood it, because while I was writing the album, it was a lot of it was really hard for me, because, you know, being human, you go through a lot of shit and it's all real. And I mean, I'd be up there writing these songs fully heartbroken and having a hard time getting words out and lyrics out because it was sad, you know. For whatever reason, I can write a lot of sad songs, and it just was me pouring a lot of what was inside of me out. And that's why I just felt it was important, man. I just wanted to get it out into the world, you know. I never had any ambition to throw away what I do, you know, in Avenged, in order to pursue some other career path. I just wanted to sing songs and tell my story in my own voice, and this was the most rock and roll way that I was able to do it, and be, and you know, and for whatever reason, write it in these styles, and it just felt really natural to me.
Two questions. So, is there ever a day where you'll be at an Avenged concert and then you'll step forward and play a song off your record? And I'll go ahead with that, and I'll hit you with the other one.
You know, I don't know. I think I love keeping them completely separate. And the reason is because I'm such a fan of my band. And I know that sounds funny, but because my bandmates are such incredible musicians and great songwriters, I love being up there with them to hear everything that they've come up with. And I love hearing the lyrics, and I'm such a fan of Matt's vocals as he's matured and grown, that I think I would never want to steal any of that spotlight. And the truth is that I just love the idea of taking the songs that I've written and starting from the beginning and playing shitty clubs and dive bars and going back to my roots and exactly why I wanted to do this when I was 15 years old. And you know, the thought of playing a dingy room with an amount of people that are there just to feel something that I've done on my own, it's beyond exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you get to have your cake and eat it too. Like, yeah, I mean, it would, in a sense, be cool to get up in front of a sold out stadium and play your stuff, but you want to go through it. You want to do the 10-year town, the Nashville, like going and playing shit on Broadway. Like, that's respectable, man. At what contractually did you ever have to deal with? You can't go solo.
Nothing at all. The one great part about Avenged is ever since me and Matt started the band in 99, we've never adhered to any rules. You know, we're just best friends. There's no contracts. There's nothing. We write what we want. We play the shows that we want. We have a great team of people, the best crew on the planet, as far as I'm concerned. And there's never been anything to hold us back from our wildest ambitions. And that's one thing I love so much about my bandmates. We're best friends first and foremost before any of this ever happened. And we were playing the smallest stages and traveling around in a van with a trailer for 5 or 6 years, and you know, selling our own merch and setting up our own gear and tuning our own guitars. And none of that's ever been lost on us. So we are genuinely happy for each other, and we're always pushing each other. Like, how crazy can you get? How much more can you push this? Like, let's push ourselves as far as we can. Let's, you know, just have fun with it and see what happens, you know, because we know that we can't make everyone happy. We know that if we stick to one formula that's, you know, been successful on the radio, that's going to get boring to a lot of other people. Part of our allure is the fact that we're always moving and changing and giving people the unexpected.
What's the oldest piece of Avenged Sevenfold merch you have?
Oh my gosh. I have several shirts from the first batch that we had ever made. And, I literally, it's wild to see. There's probably only 20 pieces that ever existed, and I have a couple of them. And I am kind of known within the band of being kind of the museum curator, where I've kept everything. I have all the concert flyers, I have all the stickers, I have all the demos,
Wow.
I have all the early posters. I mean, I'm sitting here in my office right now looking. I have an entire collection of all of our demo tapes. It's pretty incredible. Just stuff from the very beginning.
Whoa, is that a dat?
Have all the dats. Yes, I do.
What?
I have all the dats. I have the shirts.
Whoa, dude.
I mean, so much, so much.
That's so cool. So, with the single that dropped in December and the album on the way, have there been any country artists that you're a fan of that you have talked to or that have reached out or vice versa?
So far, I've kind of stayed in my own lane. I mean, I'm a huge fan of like I really, really gravitated towards Zach Bryan. I love the melodies that he uses, and I think lyrically it's just really, really great. I really like Luke Combs. And I'm excited to meet some of these guys. We spent a lot of time in Nashville. We've hung out with John Rich a lot. He was a fan of the band. In the early days, he'd come out to the concert. I literally saw that guy in one of our mosh pits. And it was
Wait, hold on. You saw John Reach in a mosh pit?
it was and it was incredible. He came out to our show at, Bridgestone, and he wasn't there to stand on the stage or get special treatment. I saw that guy pushing his way through the fucking crowd, and I had just such a respect for him. And that's the country world's the real deal, and it's something that I respect because,
Awesome.
it's the Southern, rock and roll story. It's the Southern, it's completely legitimate. I mean, I'm from, California. I've lived everywhere growing up, but being from California, it's we have different influences. We have rock influences, we have metal, we have punk rock, we have stuff that we grow up with, and a lot of the rest of, and a lot of the country has country, but it's completely legitimate. It's what they go to go out drinking. It's what they go out and the soundtrack to their childhood, their lives, their teenage years, and it's as real as it gets. So seeing someone like John pushing his way through the mosh pit to see a heavy metal concert, I was like, all right, these guys are the real deal. Like they get it. This is real. And I've seen, bands on Broadway drinking whiskey in between playing some of the most amazing, instrumentation I've ever seen, followed by a bar fight. And I was like, this is wild. Like this is real. Like I fully back this. Like how can it not be respected? And I can't wait to, spend more time in that world.
What year was it? Can you give me a year on that story?
That was probably about 2008 or 2009. Yeah, probably around 2008, 2009.
Perfect. That's awesome. Dude, so when you guys come to Nashville, we'd love to have you come by the studio and check it out man, have you come play some stuff on your solo, man? That would be really cool. And everybody in Nashville is very accepting, and we could tell it's the real deal. Like, I just talked to Brent from Shinedown, and they were freaking out that their song is got played at the Opry or the Ryman, and now it's on country radio. And I think this is great because the country's always been accepting, should be accepting of all genres.
I believe that to be true, and that's what's so exciting to me is seeing, an openness for authenticity. That's, they like what's real. They like getting a story that's real, and it can come from any side of the aisle or come from any, walk of life. If the story hits the heartstrings that it's supposed to, they don't, the listener doesn't care where it's from. They're there for all the right reasons. And that's honestly the most important thing for me ever when it comes to music.
I'm juiced, man. I can't wait for the album to come out. And do you know what the next single will be, or y'all kind of waiting on?
The next one's going to be Lighthouse. And that's going to be coming out this Friday on the 27th.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so it's coming out quick. And that just kind of goes along with the fact that, you know, I've been sitting on it, and I can't wait to get it out any longer.
Let's go. What are you waiting on? Hell yeah.
And this one's a little bit different than Dark Horse, but I wanted to show a completely different side. I wanted to, you know, show some lyrics. I wanted to show people where I was at in a point in my life, and you know, just a really meaningful song that's kind of a different direction, that's very, very raw, very it captures everything that I wanted to capture. So I can't wait for people to hear it.
Yeah, and the best part is you get to do it on your own terms and put out what you want to put out. You don't have someone being like, burr, 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 you know.
It's the most liberating the most liberating feeling, and it's you know, as an artist, it's something that's really important.
Hell yeah, man. Well, cool, man. Thanks for taking the time, dude. I appreciate you doing what you're doing.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you taking the time to hear a little bit about me. I really do.
Yeah, I'm all about it, man. I always talk to the same people all the time, so this is cool.
That's awesome, man. Well, I can't wait. I'd love to come by the studio and catch up in person when we get out there.
Hell yeah, just have your people hit my people, as they say.
Yes, that sounds perfect.
Awesome. You're the man. Appreciate you, dude.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Later, bro.
Take care, man.
You too. Later.
All right. All right. We got Billy Dukes here to talk about this amazing pair of interviews that we just did. What you got, man?
So you asked the guy from Avenged Sevenfold about his oldest piece of merch. I'm wondering what the oldest piece of clothing you have in your closet is.
Oh, you're not ready for this answer. Are you on clothing, or do you want? So I'll start out with this. I've worked at about 10 radio stations in my radio career, and I have T-shirts from each one that my mother said, "Send me those T-shirts from all your radio stations. I'm going to send it off to have it made into a quilt." So I have a quilt of all the radio stations I ever worked at, T-shirts, all the way back to 1999 in my closet. I would say that's the oldest thing.
Your wife's not letting that quilt on any beds in the house or on a wall or anything?
Dude, I hope my mom's not listening. That quilt has been in the same bin in my closet probably since it was made. Yeah. But it is cool to have. Maybe I should bust it out for my 6-year-old daughter. Maybe she'll appreciate it.
I have this T-shirt. It's the Duck Hunter T-shirt, and it's a picture of a duck in hunting clothes. It is so old. Like, you know how you take your shirt off, you like reach back behind the neck and like grab it there? Like,
yeah.
There's a hole worn at that spot. Like, it is transparent. I think I got it when I was like 11 years old on a vacation with my friend Matt Bennett. But I only keep it because like throughout college, it really like pissed this one girlfriend off really bad, like something rough. So for some reason, I really keep it like I'm somehow still sticking it to her.
Okay.
But it just lives in a drawer. Like, my wife's aware of it and kind of is like, okay, whatever, if that's what you want to do. I don't care. Just,
what does it say on it? What does it say?
It's a cartoon picture of a duck in hunting clothes, and it says Duck Hunter.
I'm trying to find it.
Hunter. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was like a Northern Michigan gift shop. It wasn't like a brand, I don't think.
Well, here's the thing. What about your ex that's combing your social media daily for every day, no, waiting decades for you to wear the shirt? You got to do it one time.
I'll give you the people a little bit of a secret. Billy Dukes, not my real name. All my social media is under Billy Dukes. I changed to Billy Dukes years after she was involved in part of my life. So I don't think she can find me.
That is awesome. You got to include a picture of that next time I see you, man, because the things
I
find.
There's a picture out there on Facebook. I have a photo of it. I'll share it with you.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, if I can find it. I mean, it's as buried as the shirt.
You know, I bet if you threw that thing up on eBay, it could be worth something, man.
It's just an old shirt. I don't. I mean, mate, we'll see. Who knows? People are into freaky things. So
belongs to you, man. The people want that.
It's not as valuable as the Avenged Sevenfold merch, I don't think.
Yeah, that was intense, and there, it was a video interview. So I'm trying to describe. He literally got up and. When I was talking about it, he kept looking to his right, like as if he was mentioning something he was looking at. Then he finally got up and like opened up a merch cabinet, and he had like everything from shirts to old albums to things fans have given him. It was incredible to see.
I liked both of these interviews. I know this was a little bit of a left turn for us. Kind of how did these come about, and why did you kind of decide to take these interviews for, Country Podcast?
Yeah, well, the first interview was presented because Shinedown was starting to get country airplay, and I think their manager, their PR team had sent an email saying, telling us that. And I followed up on it like, hey, that'd be cool if they came in. And then he came in. And then that same PR firm hit me up like a week later and was like, I've got another one for you that might be a reach, but hear me out. And then they sent me the Avenged Sevenfold Zach album, and I was listening to like first cut or two, and I'm like, okay, yeah, let's go. And that's kind of just trying to expand. I think with these artists that are coming into country, be it Shinedown that is coming in on accident, or Zach from Avenged Sevenfold going solo for a moment to do this, I think a lot of people want a piece of the country pie. And I think when I was talking to Brent from Shinedown, the fact that he instantly knew who Ella Langley was and the song and wanted to be a part of it, I think there's going to be a lot more of that.
I thought both men were really sincere in talking about the projects and their history of country. I hope neither one of them showed up in like a cowboy hat, boots, buckle. And the whole deal, because I didn't get that sense. They both seemed kind of humble about it, and neither one tried to make it like a big, I'm going country full time, this is the new me kind of deal. It just seemed like something that they're into. It's what speaks to them at the moment.
Yeah, and what was really cool that you don't see or hear on the Shinedown, on the Brent interview from Shinedown, is when he walked into the studio, he was looking around and like a fan almost. He's like, oh, I recognize the flag. And he was like, you know who's a huge fan that watches all your videos? And he named another member of the band. And he was like, he should be here with me today. He watches y'all stuff all the time. He's going to freak out. And then he was like trying to exchange numbers or emails. So when they came to town, the other guy could come in the band. And I thought that was really cool that if you would have said, hey, the guy that sings the barrel of a 45-40, was watching our video. Who knows? And during the interview, I got to be for real. During the interview, not the first one with Shinedown because he was face to face with me, but the second one with Avenged Sevenfold, I was Googling like how popular is Avenged Sevenfold and blah blah blah, and it's like my ChatGPT is like, dude, you're an idiot. It's like, this is one of the most popular bands of the 21st century and blah blah blah. They play stadiums, and I'm just like, oh.
I like how Avenged Sevenfold, like ChatGPT insults you.
Yeah, it was definitely like, yes, they are. My ChatGPT like knows me. I'm sure everybody does, but it just knows me too well. And it's like, it knows when I'm an idiot, which is all the time. So it's like, I have an idiot account.
Did you low-key just sort of drop that you have Brent Smith from Shinedown's phone number?
I didn't get it. Yeah, I did. I did low key drop that. He actually tried to give me his phone number, but like I didn't. He like held his phone up and was like, "Let's exchange numbers or something." And then I don't know. I was like, "I'll reach out to your people."
I'm so weird when it comes to like that kind of thing with artists. Like I can totally relate to that moment and like it being awkward for me.
I mean what are you gonna do?
Because here's the thing, I never really truly think anybody that I talk to in an interview setting like actually wants to be my friend. Like I always think like I feel like they're punking me and I've missed like some. Like early on, like Hauser and I were super cool. And I think Hauser like wanted to like, I don't know if he wanted to hang, but like,
yeah,
I feel like maybe would have liked to check in from time to time. Like, cause we got on really well. Like we had some things in common. So like that was an example, but like, I'm always so weird. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. We should exchange numbers. And like, I don't know. I'm weird about it. But, like, I know other people aren't. Like, Addison, who we work with. She'd be like, oh, yeah, girl, give me your phone number. Let's hang out. Let's go fishing.
There's another radio show that I'm friendly with that what they do is when new artists come in, like brand new artists, they make sure to exchange phone numbers with them. And that usually pays off in country, you know. So, like, whenever they need to call, like, Luke Combs, they just call Luke Combs on the air. And it's because they have his number from 2000 and whatever, 15, when he first came out, you know. And that is where it's at. But you got to really start from the ground floor up. But, yeah, I went home and told my wife, because my wife is into the rock music. And I went home and told her, I was like, I think when Avenged Sevenfold comes to town, we can like go and like sit with them. I can hit these guys up from Shinedown now. I think we can get backstage.
Like she's all about it? Was she pumped?
Yeah. Well, wow. She's a music photographer, so she was like, cool, let's get me, make sure you get me a photographer pass.
You guys, like, Evan never, ever gets a babysitter and, like, does something. So, like, a babysitter for, like, this would be a huge deal.
That would be a huge deal. We have not employed a babysitter yet.
Kids are, like, 10.
Hopefully we won't have to do a babysitter until hopefully just my oldest daughter, who's 6 now, will be able to babysit my son, who is 2.
Eventually. We've actually graduated to another level. My wife and I last night, the youngest was sleeping, the oldest were doing their thing, going to bed. So at like 9:30, we slipped out, drove down the road, grabbed a beer at a local brew house.
What?
Came back. Man, it's nice. It's a good spot to be.
What a life. What is that like?
It's sweet.
What?
You work hard to get there, man. You got to reap the rewards.
How far am I away from that if my kids are 6 and 2?
6 or 7 years.
Okay. All right. That's a lot of work, but I'll keep putting it in because what you just described sounds like a life-changing event.
It helps, too, that this place is like a half mile from me, and I know where you live. You don't really have any place like that within. But maybe you could go to a neighbor's for a drink or something.
I'd go to Walgreens with my wife alone if I could.
Guys, just making out in the cart aisle.
Yeah, dude. Let's go, man. All right. Well, this was a lot of fun. These projects, of course, you can check out the Shinedown song Searchlight. It's out now. And the Avenged Sevenfold album from Zach is also, there's a new song off that album coming out. It's probably out now. And then the rest of the album is going to come out later on this year. And then coming up on Taste of Country Nights on Demand next week, I believe we're going to have Megan Patrick and a new country artist, Ben Gallagher, who just announced he's expecting him and his wife his second child. They're going to stop by. We'll talk about everything. And then coming up past that, I'm looking at Joe D. Messina is stopping by and more. So we got some big, heavy names coming through here. Keep it locked into Taste of Country Nights on Demand in the future.